We are holding on Mem Hey Amud Aleph, seven lines from the bottom, right through down. Okay, we're up to the next thing described in the Mishnah, the next one of the traces, Nikav Krum Shalmayach, if the membrane of the brain has a hole in it. So first of all, we have to, Krum means a membrane, but there are two membranes that we're concerned with in Halacha. You have the outer tough membrane and the dura matter, and you have the inner membrane that is tightly attached and then molds basically to the surface of the brain, the pia matter. You mentioned the other day the arachnoid, but that's basically a network of blood vessels. It's not really a full krum, so therefore the Gemara is not really taking it into consideration over here.
The membrane.
It's a membrane, but it isn't. I mean, it's essentially for this purpose, it's part of the pia matter. Later on in the Masechta, actually, it mentions that there's a lot of blood vessels in it, and therefore that's relevant as far as the halachas of dam, as far as the halachas of where you have to make sure that the blood is removed before you eat it. But for our purpose, as far as trade, you have to remove whatever part of the blood you can. So later on, you can eat the brain of an animal. Okay. So nikav krum shomayah. So we have to start by talking about which membrane. Rav and Shmuel de Amitavaya. Rav and Shmuel both say means karma ilah. It means even if only the upper membrane, the dura matter, is punctured, even if the lower one that adheres to the brain, even if that one is not punctured, the animal is already traced. The Amri law, others say that no, ad the inkiv tata, the animal is only traced if the lower one is pierced, not the, so you actually have a machlokas rishonim, and different gear sides over here, whether do we mean that it's traced if only the lower one is punctured, but the upper one is not, or does the Gemara mean to say that you would need both of them to be punctured for the animal to be traced?
And only a puncture is what causes...
Well, we're talking about a puncture over here. That's nikav means a puncture, right? So again, we're not concerned for our purpose. We're not concerned whether the puncture was caused by mechanical trauma, like the, you know, like the animal being beat over the head, or whether it was caused by disease, or whether it was caused whatever. As long as there's a hole in it, whether it was caused by worms, for example, yeah, a hole is a hole. Yeah. So again, you have two ways of looking at it. One being, like the Gemara is saying over here, Tosfos actually discussed it previously on the base. Other Rishonim also discussed. There's a question, do we mean that if the lower one by itself is punctured, then that's enough to make the animal trace, even if the upper membrane is still intact? Or is the Gemara saying that it's only trace if both of them are punctured? Okay. Amar of Shmuel ben Achmeni, but Simonach, you simon to remember which is the one that we're saying that if it's punctured, then the animal is trace. Chaisa de matnach bei moicha. The sack in which the brain lies. So one idea is, in other words, we remember that by remembering that the inner membrane, the pia matter, is literally what the brain lies inside of, in particular because the dura matter doesn't surround the whole brain. It doesn't surround the brain in the area of the nose, for example. You don't have a dura matter. Well, but you have the brain is behind it. You have part of the brain behind it. You have parts of the brain that are not completely surrounded by dura, whereas you do have all parts of it. I don't know, but that's what we're saying over here. That's what the Mepharshim explained, and I guess they've dissected animals, and I haven't. So whatever you have, the point is you have some part which doesn't completely surround the brain. So therefore, that's why we're saying the matnach be moicha, the pia matter, the inner membrane completely surrounds the brain. Wherever there's brain, there is pia matter around it. That's one way. That's one thing that the simon means. Another explanation some of the Mepharshim say is also chayta is related to the word chayus. So therefore, it helps us remember that the chayus of the animal depends on the inner membrane. Okay. The parallel kind of thing with two membranes is more easily visible in the case of the basin. So most of the Rishonim understand the basin over here, Rashi in particular, talks about basin over here means the testicles. In other words, with the brain, again, you have the two membranes, but it's not as obvious because the inner one, the pia matter, is very tightly attached to the brain, and only if you know what you're looking for are you going to notice it. On the other hand, with the beis zacha, with the testicles, it's easier to see that you have two membranes above the actual tissue itself. You have two membranes, and then you have the actual scrotum itself, which corresponds to the skull. So in other words, he's showing us the same way as here you have, there's an outer casing, and then you have two membranes within it, and then the actual functional tissue, so it is also with the brain. Some of them are showing him understand that it means in regular eggs as well, because you have an eggshell and you have an egg membrane, whatever the point is. Okay. So now the next thing we have to define is like this. Okay, so we've established that there are two membranes, and we're saying that it's one. We had two versions of what Rav and Shmuel say. One is that even if only the upper one is pierced, it's enough to make it straight. The other one is the lower one, and within that you have a machlokas whether it means both of them or whether it only means the inner one. But now we have to discuss the next issue is.
This is
all midaraisa we're talking about. This is all tereis. This is all tereis.
No, it's tereis deraisa, but the Torah doesn't tell you which.
The Torah doesn't specify. No, of course not. So that's the Torah said v'asavachsada tereis aloi sechelu, and what it is it's left up to the chachamim to determine what exactly fits in that category. Well, I shouldn't say no. We said at the beginning of the parak, we had Ula telling us there are eight categories of tereis that are halacha l'moshe misinai. So it's not really left up to the chachamim. If the halacha l'moshe misinai, that's for example that there's a category of tereis called mikuva, and that there are various organs in the body. There are various organs in the body which, if they have a hole in it, the animal will become tereis. So one of them is a membrane, and so now we're clarifying which one. Okay, but now the next thing we have to ask is, do you have the brain?
Nekuva means they're all from the top membrane to the bottom membrane.
No, but that's the thing. For example, when we mentioned, for example, Nikav Avesh, it meant there had to be a hole through from the inside to the outside. But over here, since there are two membranes, we can talk about separately. There can be a hole in one without there being a hole in the other, and vice versa. So then we have to
compare like the Avesh, you should say. From the outside membrane to...
But the difference is, with the vesh, the two layers are fairly tightly attached. I mean, they're somewhat loose, therefore they're able to move relative to each other, as we said the other day. But with the brain, they're not really closely attached at all. You have the space between them is filled up with cerebrospinal fluid.
Both have to be penetrated.
Fine, in the case...
Why don't we say the same thing more?
Because one possibility, so maybe that's what the Gemara means. When we said ad inkiv tata, do we mean that both of them have to be punctured? Or do we mean it's enough if only the inner one is punctured because then that's already enough to make the animal trace? That's the animal focus for showing him on that subject. Because it would be different. Because you could argue different organs have different rules. I mean, the same way, you know, you have what will kill an animal or a person, a defect in one organ, where you have this parallel thing in another organ won't. And, you know, you have a number of times in this parak that Mephoshim discussed the question: how much can we draw analogies from one organ to another. Sometimes we can.
If one membrane of the vesh only is pierced, there's not going to be any problem
therefore, that's fine. Therefore, we said the animal is still kosher.
Why don't we say the same?
Because with the brain, it's not necessarily like that. With the brain, as long as you have one of them punctured, maybe what it is the other one is eventually going to get punctured. Maybe what it is you're going to have brain tissue leak out into the
brain is not affected. It's just the dura.
If it's just the dura, well, that was the first opinion. We said that if the upper one is punctured, then that's enough to make a trace. The argument you could say is because the pia is not really strong enough to hold the brain all by itself. It's a fairly thin membrane.
So then
you could argue maybe that if only the outer one is pierced, it's enough. But on the other hand, since we're saying ad inkiv tata, then we can argue the other way around. Then we can argue one possibility is maybe just the inner one by itself being pierced is enough to make the animal straight. Or maybe what it means is you need both. That's what I'm saying. The Gemara itself, it has not a teiku in the Gemara. It's a machlokas rishonim how to understand it. So a lot of times we have with machlokas rishonim like that, what we'll say is we should declare it treif. However, many times we'll say in a case of hefsid merubah, we can rely on the more lenient, and in a case of great financial loss, we can be makel and then follow the more lenient opinions that it's okay. All right. Anyway, so now the next thing we have to discuss is like this. The same kind of tissue, same kind of nerve tissue that you have in the brain, you also have in the spinal cord. It goes from the brain straight down into the... Okay, that's close enough. So the question is, where is the dividing point? So, Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, it's like Moyach, as far as the brain, Kol Masha B'Kedera, whatever is inside the Kedera literally means the pot. That means the skull, which is pot shaped. whatever is inside the skull, nida in kamaya.
Gogolos
means the skull as a whole, but here what we want to talk about is here what we want to talk about where it's rounded versus where it's lengthened, where it's elongated. So kol mashibakdeiro, whatever is in the pot, so to speak, meaning in the head, nidon kamoyach is considered like the brain. His chelim shoich, once it starts stretching out and becomes like a long thread, nidon kachot hashedra. At that point, it has the din of the spinal cord, where we're going to say on Omid Beis that with the spinal cord you have more lenient dinim as far as holes in the membrane of it, in the meninx of it. Yeah. So mehechan maskali moshech. Okay, so now we have to say, okay, so what is that point where we say that it starts getting, that it starts lengthening? Amar of Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni, l'didi mifarshi liminei Rabbi Shor ben Levi. Rabbi Shor ben Levi explains me as follows: Kemin shnei pulin, yesh. There are two bean-shaped things munachin al piyakdera that are sitting at the entrance to the kdera. Now, what are those pulling? You have basically three different approaches among the Rishonim what they are. First of all, Rashi translates them by a French word that means something like acorn-shaped things. So you have many of the Rishonim understand that they are the condyles. You have like this. You have in the with an animal or with a bird, as we're going to say in a second, you have at the end of the skull over there, you have two bones at the back of the skull, you have two things called the occipital condyles, which basically those attach the skull to the bones of the neck, to the vertebrae of the neck,
right,
and then allow the head to move and allow the neck to be able to turn. So therefore, so one way of looking at it is that the pull-in are those things. Beyond that, the bony projections over there, bony structures, the occipital condyles, that's one way of understanding what those are. And we're saying from that point onward, then it's considered the chut hashedra. So I'll tell you in a second a couple of other possibilities, but let's first finish. So whatever is inward of the pull-in is considered like what's inward, it's considered like a brain. And therefore, as we're saying, even a small puncture in the membrane or membranes, whatever, will make the animal trace. Whatever is further to the back of the animal, caudal of the animal, beyond the pulin, is kalachot, is like what's outside of it, which we're going to say later on the onward that there is considered like a spinal cord, and you have more leniencies as far as traces, as far as holes in it. Well, pulin asman any idea. Then he says the pulin Rabbi Shor ben Levi is telling Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni as far as what happens if there's a puncture in the membranes, in the meninx, within the pulin, between the pulin themselves. In other words, here, if these are the pulin, the fact is you have a certain amount of space there between them where you could have, conceivably, the meninx of the cord could be cut.
Mm-hmm.
So then any idea, so I don't know what the din is, it's logical to assume that it would be considered like the brain, which is further inside, which is anterior to it. And the Gemara finishes off. Rabbi Yirmiya bodak ba'ofer. Rabbi Yirmiya checked it. We were talking about an animal now. Rabbi Yirmiya checked also in a bird. And he also found that there were these two pullin-like things, these two bean-shaped things by the mouth, by the entrance of the kdera, of the skull. So if we say that there are the occipital condyles, a bird actually only has one. However, what it is at least in certain kinds of birds, in particular in chickens, that one has a groove in it. And then the spinal cord actually goes above it. It actually goes over that groove.
Yeah,
so in that sense, it looks like two. So over here, this is for a bird. So you have over there. So if we say that the colon are the occipital condyle, then a bird only has one. But in a chicken in particular, it has a groove in it, so it looks like two. And that
two
can be, therefore, what the Gemara means, that Rabbi Yirmiya saw that in a bird also, even though you don't literally have two, you have something that has the appearance of two. And therefore, it's the same thing. It's the demarcation point.
So when that is pierced?
Not when that is
pierced.
That's the level at which
it's the
right.
Level.
That's the level.
Beyond
right.
That, it's the brain.
So above that is the brain. Below that is the spinal cord. Right. Now, there are two other explanations. The Ra'avan, one of the Rishonim, has a different understanding of what the pulin are. He understands that they're part of the brain itself. So therefore, what you have is, it depends.
They're bony structures.
No. Who said they're bony structures? We just said they're like pulin. So we said they're like beans. No, that's one explanation. All the Gemara says is they're pulin. They're bean-shaped things. So we were understanding that it means necessarily that the condom. But you have two other explanations. Right. Another explanation is that they mean certain hemispheres of the brain. In the case of the bird, and in the case of a bird, you have the two halves of the cerebrum or the optic lobes or whatever. This is the head of a bird. Yeah, you can see the beak over there. So according to the Ravan, the pullin are probably the optic lobes, although we're not sure about that because then actually he just says they're part of the brain.
What do they look like?
They look like that. They look like that.
Put on these two above?
The two above would be definitely part of the brain itself. It's hard to say that from there down it should be already considered spinal cord. It's more logical to say that he means this. And in the case of an animal, you have similar things. You have a similar kind of structure. It has a different function, but that's neither here nor there as far as halakha is concerned. But also, again, they look like two round things.
So that's
the difference. The difference is, in other words,
called the thalamus in English.
Okay. Here he calls them the rostral folliculi, but okay, whatever. The point is that in the case of a bird, they're easily visible on the surface of the brain. In the case of an animal, they're very deep inside.
Right.
So that would be the point then that Rabiumia found in a bird that they're easily visible as opposed to in an animal where they're not so easily visible.
So the cerebellum would be considered part of the spinal cord?
Would be considered, no, postulus, it's over the folliculi. So here it's showing how it looks when it's dissected to move it over. So therefore, that would probably still be considered part of the brain.
Uh-huh.
And then only beyond that would it be.
Uh-huh.
And then the third possibility that mentions in Sichas Chulin, a third possibility is maybe the pullin are, what's the name for it? The pituitary gland and the other structures around there. No, in an animal actually it's fairly far back. In a human being it hangs pretty much directly under the middle of the brain, but in an animal it's a little further back. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Anyway, whatever the pullin are, the further back from them is considered spinal cord. The space between them and anything forward of them is considered brain. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Nikav Alev LeBeis Chaloli. The next thing we said in the Mishnah is, a case of chafis is if the heart is punctured and the puncture goes all the way into the inner cavity of it.
Right.
Now, how many cavities are we talking about? Rashi explains over here what it is that you have, Rashi explains you have one big cavity and then a bunch of small cavities around it. You have different other Rishonim talk about different possibilities, if there were two or there were three. They're not really arguing in Metzius, because the fact of the matter is you can cut open a heart and see for yourself how many chambers it has. It really depends which direction you slice it. It depends what you're considering to be
changed.
They're too large and too small in a mammal's heart, a bird heart, the configuration is a little bit different.
Yeah.
No, it's a little bit different. But whatever, the point is, depending on exactly what axis you cut it on, or depending on various other factors. No, that's the point. In other words, as long as there's a puncture, the Gemara is going to end up saying that as long as there's a puncture into any one of the cavities in the animal's trach, so we're going to ask whether it means a large one or one of the smaller ones, but in the end, the halacha is going to be, it doesn't matter. Okay. So, boy, the base color gadol. What do you mean? If the puncture goes only into one of the smaller chambers, or only if it goes into the big chamber? Abai says, why are you even asking? Mi loitnan, wouldn't it be similar to, we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer Adchichinokiv Lebeis HaSimponos, where we have in our Mishnah that, when we talk about the lung being punctured, that the Tanakhama had said that if the lung is punctured, which means any size hole, then it becomes treif. And Rav Shimon says, Adchichinokiv Lebeis HaSimponos, it's only possible, it's only treif, only if it's punctured all the way until Beis HaSimponos. And what is that? The Simponos means the bronchi. The bronchi in the lungs, but those divide smaller and smaller. So what is considered Beis HaSimponos? So v'omer rav v'chachlifa omer rav yumi v'ava omer rav, it means ad shichinokiv l'simpon gadol. It means, according to Rav Shimon, the animal is treif only if the hole reaches all the way to the big bronchus. In other words, you have, when the windpipe goes into the lungs, it divides, you have one branch of it to the right lung, one to the left lung. That would be considered Beis HaSimponos. Yeah. That's the simpon gadol. So therefore, in other words, so Abaye is arguing by the same logic, okay, granted, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon, but nevertheless, we could still draw an analogy. We could say that just like over there, Beis HaSimponos means the simpon gadol, means the big bronchus, the same thing over here. When it says Beis Chaloloi, to the cavity of the heart, it should mean the large cavity.
Right.
However, the Gemara says Hachi Hashta. How are you thinking to compare those two cases? possum or base has been punctured, katani. Over there, it doesn't just say that it was punctured until the simpoin. The expression is lebase hasimponus, which means to the house, to the place of the simponus. Meaning, lahecha de shashi simponus. Because, in other words, he's saying, like, in the Mishnah, it uses this, Reb Shimon uses the expression, lebase hasimponus, which means it's not just we're focusing on the fact that it says simpon, and we're saying the word simpon implies the largest simpon. We're actually focusing on the fact that it says lebase hasimponus. And the base and has simponos. In other words, it mentions the base, literally like the house, and simponos in the plural. So there's
so that's the, what it implies.
Well, no, in other words, well, that's the point. In other words, therefore, lahecha de shaschi simponos kulu. Therefore, we could say, what does base has simponos in the plural mean? It means the place where all the simponos gather together. In other words, the main bronchus would be, therefore, according to the
well, no.
Well, in other words, that, okay, again, you have here's the two lungs. So each one has one large branch that goes into it, one large bronchus, and then that divides into finer and finer ones.
Right.
So you can argue, Reb Shimon, when he uses the expression base has simponus, he means like where they all gather together into this one large bronchus of the respective side of the lung.
Okay.
So therefore, v'hachal base chalolei katani. On the other hand, our Mishnah didn't say anything about it didn't use the expression. It didn't use a plural expression chalolim. The cavities, where therefore we could argue it means like the main cavity that all the other ones are associated with. It just says well, base chalolei to its cavity. Therefore, mali chalol gadol, mali chalol katan. So what do I care whether it's a big cavity or one of the smaller ones? Either way, the animal should be chased because there's a hole all the way into the cavity of the heart. And that, in fact, is halacha. Doesn't matter which cavity the hole goes into. As long as it goes into any cavity, any chamber, whatever of the heart, the animal's chased. Period. Okay.
What about the arteries outside the heart?
Ah, that's what we're going to talk about now. Okay. Next thing we have to talk about is like this. Knei halev, the pipe of the heart. Now, the Gemara is going to define soon what the pipe of the heart is. The Gemara is going to describe anatomically where it's located. You have two major ways of understanding what the Gemara means. Rashi, and based on Rashi and most of the Rishonim, it comes out that the Knei HaLev is what's called in English the aorta, the largest artery that comes out of the heart. All the other arteries in the body divide out from that one. According to the Rambam, it's not certain, but it's possible that the Rambam's definition of it would actually be what's called the pulmonary artery that brings blood from the heart to the lungs for it to get oxygenated.
The pulmonary artery
comes from the lungs to the heart, whatever. It goes between the heart and the lungs. It's possible that that's how the Rambam would understand the Knei HaLev, although the Marashal says that no, because the Gemara is going to mention now that it's covered with fat and the pulmonary artery is not, whereas the aorta is. So maybe the Rambam also means the same as Rashi, that it means the aorta. He's just describing it differently. Okay, anyway, as far as the Knei HaLev, as far as this pipe, Knei HaLev, yeah, it means the pipe of the heart. So it means
so
either
it
one.
To be
so Bepashtus, it means the aorta, but but it's
pulmonary veins.
Veins, you have a bunch of them, but artery, you have only one. You have
pulmonary
one
artery.
Pulling the artery, or you have one, and then you have a bunch of veins. It divides afterwards, but you have what starts out as one. Okay. Anyway, Knella, if Rav Omer B'mashahu, Rav says even a small puncture in it is enough to make the animal chase, like the heart itself. Or Shmuel Omer B'rubo, Shmuel is more lenient and says only if the puncture is around the majority of the circumference of it. So first of all, hey new Knei HaLev. Okay, so what is this Knei HaLev that we're talking about? Amar Rav Bar Yitzchak. Amar Rav, chelev sha'al gabei dfanos. It means the fat which is on the walls. Now, the Gemara assumes when we say the walls, it sounds like it means some kind of fat that goes
along on the inside of the ribs above the lungs. Defunus means the sides of the animal. In which case, the question is, what do you mean? Defunus, sakadadak, what do you mean? The fat that's on the lungs. There's no possible way that you can say that the chayus of the animal depends on that, such that you can say that a puncture in that is enough to make the animal chase. Now, el shagabe doifne reya. Rather, what we mean when we say shagavet tfonis, we don't mean the sides of the animal. We mean the sides of the we mean the sides of the lungs, because especially if we say that if we say it's talking about the aorta, it passes between the two sides of the lungs. You have a right lung and a left lung, and the aorta passes between them, and it's covered with fat. So in that, the point is that can be described as chelav shagavet tfonis, the fat that is on the walls of the rea, in the sense that you have a fat-covered pipe that passes between them. By the way, Rashi points out over here, really, you in halacha, usually we use the word chelev to mean fat that's not allowed to be eaten, and we use the word shuman to mean fat that you're allowed to eat. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about the partly in our perek, partly later on, we're going to talk about the definition of what is fat, what's the definition, what kind of fat are you allowed to and you're not allowed to. This fat that's on the aorta, you're actually allowed to eat. It's actually in halacha considered shuman. However, Rashi says that the kanelev is the aorta. It's covered with fat. The fat on
fat that covers the aorta, or is the aorta itself?
In other words, we're calling it fat. What we mean is the aorta that's within that fat. The fat is not the main thing. We're describing it as fat, because when you look at it, when you first open up the animal, you see a fat, you see a thing of fat over there, but that is the aorta. It's the largest blood vessel that comes out of the heart. The largest artery that comes out of the heart. The point is that Rashi says it, really we should be calling what covers it shuman. However, in Torah terminology, the word chelev means indiscriminately fat that you're allowed to eat and fat that you're not allowed to eat. It's only in Lashon Chachamim, it's only in the terminology of Chazal that you have the expression shuman that's used for fat that you're allowed to eat. So here we're using the word chelev in the generic sense. We don't mean to say it's chelev that you're not allowed to eat. We just mean it in the sense of fat. Okay. All right. Omer Amemer Meshmeid Rav Nachman. So now in this connection, Amemer says in the name of Rav Nachman, Tlosa Kani Habu. There are three pipes. Chad parish lelibo, chad parish lereya, chad parish lekavda. One separates and goes to the heart, one goes to the lungs, and one goes to the liver. Now, from the way that Rashi phrases it over here, the way, if you look in Rashi, tlosa kani havu, Rashi says, la'achasha konan nichnas l'choze, after the windpipe goes into the chest, mitzvasa l'shloisha, it divides into three branches. So it sounds like these three things that we're describing over here are actually branchings of the windpipe. The problem is, it's not really like that. You open up an animal and dissect it, you'll find that these three pipes, that you don't have a pipe that goes directly from the, you don't have a continuation of the windpipe that goes directly to the heart. The windpipe goes into the lungs, and then you have blood vessels that go from there to the heart. And the same thing with the other ones. So there's a variety of different ways. There's a variety of different ways of explaining what exactly these three are.
How is it described here?
So it's just saying tlosa kani havu. There are three pipes. Chad parish l'liba, one separates off, one branches off and goes to the heart. The chad parish l'reya, one branches and goes to the lungs. The chad parish l'kavda, and one branches and goes to the liver. So again, the way Rashi is phrasing it, it makes it sound like you have the windpipe itself branches off into these three things. But that doesn't, anatomically, that's not really correct. They don't branch like that. So Rashi says, la'achasha kona nichnas l'choze, after the kona, after the windpipe goes into the chest, mispasa l'shloisha, it branches into three. So there are various ways of explaining. Rashi. In particular, maybe what you do is you group the blood vessels a little differently than an anatomist would do. You group certain veins, for example, together with the associated arteries, for example, and therefore you can manage to make that work. But there's other possibilities as well. One of them being the one that goes to the heart is the aorta that we were just mentioning. The one that goes to the lungs would be the pulmonary artery that we were also just discussing. And the one that goes to the liver would be the vena cava, the biggest vein. The largest vein that brings blood from the back half of the body to the heart, and it passes through the liver, the vena cava. It passes through the liver. So that would be the one we're describing over here that branches off to the liver. That's one possibility. There's a few other possibilities that are discussed of what exactly each one of these might be. Another possibility is, for example, the one that goes to the liver might be what's called the portal vein, which carries blood from which carries blood from the liver itself back to the heart. Yeah, it's a vein. But yeah. Okay. Anyway. So, what are the dinim of those three? Dereya tereya, the one that goes to the lungs, let's say it's the pulmonary artery, it has the same din as the lung, where even a small puncture in it is able to make it the animal chafe. Dekavda kekavda, the one that goes to the liver, whether we mean the vena cava, whether we mean the pulmonary vein, or the portal vein, whatever it is exactly, has the din of the liver. Namely, that the animal would be treif only if the entire thing was removed, because just like we said, the liver, the animal is treif only if the entire liver is removed and there's less than a kazayas of it. So it would be also with this particular vein. Deliba, as far as the one that goes to the heart, the pastus, meaning the aorta, pligi, that would be the machloikas of Rav and Shmuel, whether a small puncture is enough to make the animal treif or whether you need a larger one that goes around most of the circumference. Okay. That's one version of the machlok. That's what's one version of the discussion. Mar Bachia Masni Yitcha. Mar Bachia taught the other way around. He flipped around the dinim of these pipes. The Reya Kikavda, he says the one that goes to the lungs, let's say the pulmonary artery, has the din of the liver, that only if the whole thing is missing is the animal treif. Dekavda kereya, the one that goes to the liver, the vena cava or whatever it is, has the din of the lungs, that a small hole is enough to make the animal treif. Deliba pligi, and the one that goes to the heart, the aorta, would be the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, whether a small puncture or whether a large puncture is necessary to make the animal treif. Also, Rav Chiya bar Yosef Amr l'shmaitek d'Rav kameh d'Shmuel. So Rav Chiya bar Yosef went and told over Rav's original din that in the case of the Kne Halev, which we're saying the pashtus means the aorta, that he went and told Rav's opinion that even a small puncture was enough to make the animal chafe. He told it over to Shmuel. Amalei, and Shmuel said, Ihochi, Oma Abba, if that's actually what Abba said, as we learned before, Shmuel called Rav by the name Abba out of respect, or because Abba was his first name, but if he said that, lo yodeh b'treifes v'loi kum, then he doesn't really know anything about treifes. In other words, he hadn't actually heard himself what Rav had taught, because he's in the Hauda and Rav is in the Surah. So he's saying, you're reporting to me what Rav said. I can't believe Rav could possibly have said that, because that would mean he'd have to know nothing about treifes. Nevertheless, though, the fact is, as usual in Hilchos Itzeh V'Hetzer, the halacha is like Rav against Shmuel, and so it is over here, that a small puncture in the Kana HaLev, is in the aorta, is enough to make the animal treif. Now, even though we're saying over here, in principle, there should be one of them where you need only a larger thing to make it possible, because we said it to make it treif, because we said over here, according to the first definition, the one that goes through or to the liver needs only if the whole thing is missing is a treif. And then we said another opinion is the one that goes to or through the lungs only if the whole thing is missing is a treif. Because we have the two versions in the Gemara, and the Gemara doesn't say which one the halacha is like, the result is with all three of them, with all three of these pipes that we're describing over here, a small hole is enough to make the animal treif.
Just because
we don't know, because we have two versions in the Gemara of which one is which, of which one has which din. In the case of the one to the heart, the aorta, it's clear the halacha is like Rav against Shmuel, so therefore a small puncture is enough. In the case of the other two, the one to the lungs and the one to the liver, you have one version that says one of them would be possible, would be treif with a small hole. The other version says it's the other one, so we don't know which version the halacha is like. The Gemara didn't tell us that the halacha is like this version or that version. Therefore, that the result is that it's treif no matter which one has a puncture. Okay.
When Mashiach comes, we'll know.
Very possible. Yeah. I mean, when Mashiach comes anyway, we'll have a Sanhedrin again. They can revisit all these halachas and then decide what the actual halacha should be.
Yeah. So right now, a small hole in the
aorta. So right now, a small hole in the aorta or in the pulmonary artery or in the vena cava, or apparently any of the other ones that we're saying might be it, like the portal vein or whatever, is enough to make the animal treif. Yeah.
I mean, after you shuffle it, you look it over.
After, yeah, obviously.
What you call the pulmonary artery is after the junction of each pulmonary artery, the main pulmonary.
The main pulmonary artery that goes from the heart to each lung. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Nishbar Hashedra. We said another case in the Mishnah is if the spine is broken and the spinal cord is cut. So you said it's not the spine itself, it's just bones. The animal chaos doesn't depend on that, but it's the spinal cord that makes the difference. So, Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, Chutz ha-shedra shenifsek berubay divrei Rebbe. Rebbe would say the animal is treif only if the spinal cord is cut in its majority. And it's majority, meaning we're going to see in a second. What we're going to see in a second, are we talking about the actual nerve tissue inside it, or are we talking about the membranes, the meninges, whatever around it? We're going to get to that in a minute. Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nitzav. Rabbi Yaakov says even if it only has a hole, only if it's only a puncture, that's already enough to make the animal trick.
Well, it can live.
But no, that's the thing. We're saying that it can't live. That's the definition. Okay, so again, according to Rebbe, we would say that it has to be shnifsak berubay, that you have a hole around the most of its circumference would be required to make the animal trace. According to Rebbe Yaakov, just a small hole would be enough. Well, wait. Hoyda Rebbe k'Rebbe Yaakov. One time, when it came to an actual practical psak halacha, even though Rebbe himself is mekel, he didn't want to follow his own opinion. He paskin like Rebbe Yaakov. However, Amar Rav Huna ain't halacha k'Rav Yaakov. However, Rav Huna says the halacha is not like Rav Yaakov, only if you have roiv is only if roiv is cut is a problem. The kama rubai. So now we have to say, okay, if the halacha is like Rebbe, that you need rubai.
What's rubai?
That's what we have to figure out. What do we mean? Roiv of what? Rav Amar roiv oiroi. Rav says it means most of the membrane, most of the meninx. If it's cut. If it's cut around most of the circumference of it, even if the nerve tissue inside is not touched, that's enough to make the animal trip. But Amrila Roiv Moichai, another version of what other Amiroyim would say is most of the moyach, most of the nerve tissue inside the spinal cord. Only if most of that is cut. Is the animal tree. So Manda Omer Roiv Moichai, the one who says that if most of the moyach of the inner tissue is cut, so he says the animal's trace even though the membrane around it is still intact, Kol Shekein Roiv Oirei. He would say how much more so if most of the skin around it, if most of the membrane around it is cut. Because eventually you have if you're going to say that even if the membrane is completely intact, and you're saying that if most of the inside is cut, that's already enough to make the animal trace, even though you have, I mean, the membrane is still intact on the face of it, whatever was cut inside is not going anywhere. How much more so than if the membrane itself is cut, the animal is going to be traced, because then all the contents are going to end up coming out, yeah, or getting infected or whatever. The manda omer roiv oiroi, however, according to the first opinion, that says that there's only if most of the circumference of the membrane is cut, we have to ask roiv moichai mai. So what would be the din according to that? What if most of the moyach that's inside were to get cut? According to that opinion, would the animal be traced or not?
If roiv oiroi, then
definitely roiv oiroi, because that keeps it inside. But if we say roiv oiroi, the question would be, what if you have roiv moichai? What if you have most of the moyach is cut, but the oir is still intact? That what we just said,
that's trade.
No. Again, we have two different versions over here. One version that said that roiv oiroi is enough to make it trade.
Right.
So according to that, we have one that says roiv oiroi and we have one that says roiv moichai. If we say roiv moichai, in other words, even if only the inside is damaged, but the outside, the membrane around it, the meninges around it are still intact, well, then we would say, how much more so, according to that opinion, if the membrane itself is cut, then you have a real problem, because then all the moyach is going to leak out, then for sure the animal is trace. The question is, if we say that roiv oiroi makes it trace, what would be the din, according to that opinion, if roiv moichai, if most of the way through the moyach was cut through it, without the oiroi being damaged at all?
Roiv moichai is cut, then there's nothing to talk about.
Because if roiv oiroi is still intact. And in fact, one second, Toshma, the Omer Niuli Omer Rav Huna, Niuli, or Nivli, whatever, is the name of a Tamakhokam, says in the name of Rav Huna, Rubai Sha'amru Roiv Oiva. When we talk about Roiv, we mean Roiv of the membrane, of the meninx. And the Moyach Zeh Le'mayla V'le'mori, the brain tissue or whatever, nerve tissue that's inside there, neither, it doesn't help and doesn't hurt. In other words, when we're talking about it being cut, we don't care about the nerve tissue inside there. We only care about the membrane. Now, what's the logic of that? So what's the logic of that? So actually, in Chulin Illuminated, it brings an interesting idea from Yisrael Belsky. He says the idea is because if the actual nerves are cut, the animal's dead anyway, especially if it's high up on the spinal cord. So therefore, there's nothing really to talk about. You can't even talk about whether it's a trace or not. Now, on the other hand, because you're not going to have time really to shaft it before it dies from that. But if it's
it can be dead and trace.
The point is, in other words, that you don't really have time if that happens to be able to shaft it before it dies naturally. With that, therefore, it's an avela. As opposed to if you have the inner contents. So on the other hand, if the membrane, if the meninx is broken open, then we're saying eventually, without the inner part being affected, necessarily, eventually it's going to get infected, and
if you have the outer membrane only.
If you have the outer membrane only, and the inner part is cut. So we seem to be saying in the Gemara over here that's not straight, but an argument can be made, and this is what he's saying over there. It's not so much that it won't, that's not straight, but there's no time for it to become straight. It's going to become nevela anyway. The other way of looking at it is maybe a possibility is also that if the membrane is completely intact, inevitably you're going to have some nerve fibers are still intact. You're not going to have the whole thing that's cut all the way through. And you're going to have some bits of it that are still hanging on to the inside to the inside of the meninx, and that's enough for nerve impulses. I don't know. Anyway, okay. So more on this topic.
So what's
that's the halacha. We haven't finished yet, but so far what we're saying is that if most of the circumference of the membrane is cut in any one place, then the animal is safe. On the other hand, if the membrane is intact, even if the gray matter inside it has gotten separated, then the animal is still cautious.
So when the surrounding membrane is punctured,
Not punctured. We said Rabbi Yaakov had said punctured. Rebbe had said, and the halacha is like Rebbe, only if most of its circumference is cut or otherwise damaged or missing or whatever.
Punctured would still be kosher.
Cut, it would have to be cut around the majority of the circumference. And if the meninx is completely intact, and only inside of that do you have that the gray matter was cut. Destroyed. Hold on, we're going to talk in a second now if it got infected or whatever. That's another question. Just if it was cut, let's say, cut, then the animal is still cautious. That's what we're saying. That's would be the outer membrane.
Yeah. Okay.
So more on this topic. Rav Nosson bar Ovin have a yosef kamed Rav. Rav Nosson bar Ovin was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav. Bodek b'roiv oiroi. So he was checking to see if most of the membrane, of most of the outer membrane, was intact, and he found it was. He found most of it hadn't been cut. So the kabodik beroid moichay. So he starts checking the inside gray matter to see if that's cut. So omaloi and Rav tells him it doesn't matter. Im roiv oirei kayem, as long as most of the circumference of the membrane is intact. Moyach zein in my levein amoder, then the gray matter that's in there is neither here nor there. And even if it was cut, it doesn't matter. According to Rabbi Yisrael's chiddush, maybe the vote is then if you don't have to even check because then it's dead anyway. But the nevela is nothing to talk about. But okay, anyway. On the other hand, when it comes to the spinal cord, if it's nismarech, which means it's softened, Rashi describes that hamroch that we're going to say in a second, the Gemara itself is going to be fine in a second, but wait, nismarech posel, nismasnes posel. If it was nismarech or if it was nismasnes, either way it's posel. Now, what is the definition of those two things? Ezuri hamrocha ve'ezuri hamsmosa. So that's it. Hamrocha is kol shen nishpach ketitain. Hamrocha is where the tissue in there has gotten so softened that it pours like a jug of water. Meaning Rashi describes it like you could pour it from one end to the other. You could be holding the spinal cord with the membrane around it still intact and be able to slosh the contents of it back and forth. And if you were to make a hole there, it would come out the hole because it's that softened. The pasta is from infection. Mismasa is kol she'eni yochol lamoid. It's not quite so liquidy like water. However, so it wouldn't pour out. If you were to make a hole in the membrane over there, it wouldn't pour out. However, it's soft enough.
Yeah,
it's soft enough that therefore, if you were to hold the spinal cord upright, it wouldn't be able to stand. It would bend over. So like this, in other words, a healthy spinal cord, you can hold it after you remove it from the animal. You can hold it by one end, and it'll stand straight up because the nerve fibers are strong enough to be able to stand. Mm-hmm. So like this, if it's weak enough, that when you hold it, it bends over because part of it has softened, then the animal would be chafed. So there we see, in other words, in that connection, we see that the gray matter does make a difference. We were talking about this gray matter doesn't make a difference if it's cut. But here we're talking about if it gets liquefied or otherwise softened or whatever, it means there's infection over there. Basically, the idea is, the Mephoshim say, maybe not so much because of the gray matter itself, but more because eventually the membrane will get punctured from that also.
So if it can stand independently,
it's kosher. Yeah. If it bends over because it's weak, then not because it's weak, but because it's soft, but not so soft as water, then it's chafe. And if it's even more than that, if it's so softened that you can pour it like water, then it's also chafe. It actually mentions in that case, so why do we need to mention both?
Yeah.
Why don't we just mention the first case? The reason is because if we only had one of them, we would misunderstand and think that it means only when it's like water. So therefore, by having two expressions, hamrocha and masmasa, that clarifies that it means that one and all the more so the next one. Okay. Boy, Rav Yumi. Now Rav Yumi asked the question in this connection. So we're saying that if the end of it bends over when you hold it upright because the contents of it are softened and therefore it doesn't have the structural integrity to stand anymore, what about any yochalam and nekovdoi mai? What about if you have a case, you hold it upright, and it bends over, not so much because the gray matter that's in there has gotten softened, but just because it's heavy. It's heavier than normal. So now, on the one hand, it's not softened. It still has its structural integrity.
On the other hand,
we're talking about. On the other hand, the fact that it's heavy may mean that there's some kind of infection over there that's therefore it's heavier than normal. And again, therefore, that infection is going to eventually kill the animal. Mice, so what would be the din? Tekel, and therefore we have to be mice in that case. Okay.
Maybe it's a heavy behemoth.
A big behemoth will have a bigger spinal cord to make up for that.
Right.
Okay.
So far we have
the following cases. We have where the membrane is intact and the gray matter in there is cut. Then we said it's kosher. Then we have where it's softened like wax, let's say, or more so even like water, then it's chafe. And then the last one where we have a Yumi Yosafik is if it still seems to be intact, it's still solid, but it bends over because it's heavier than normal.
It's not soft.
So it's not soft, but the spinal cord itself bends over when you hold it. Right, exactly. Okay. Bei Rav Amri. Now, in the Yeshiva of Rav, they said, here's a further din on this. Nismas nispasol. So if it's liquefied or softened or whatever, then it's possible, like we just said. But nismazmez kosher, but a slightly different word. Nismazmez and nismazmez. If it's nismazmez, then it's kosher. Now, what is nismazmez? So here you have Rashi. Here you have Rashi versus the Rif and the Rambam. Rashi understands the smazmez as some of the tissue, some of the gray matter is missing. Usually the membrane of the spinal cord should be completely full of gray matter. So like this, some of it is missing.
Inside the
membrane, right. That's what Rashi defines, that's the definition of nismazmez. you have the Rif and the Rambam understand it, that it means basically like it's dislocated, like it moves around in there. It's like not tightly attached to the membrane anymore, to the meninx. Like it's supposed to be, it's like it moves around in there. So it's still solid, not like we were saying before that it's not like we were saying before that it's liquefied or so, but it moves, right? So then we're saying it's kosher.
Nismazmes,
right, according to that.
Nismazmes
would be where it was softened, like we said before, by infection or whatever.
Nasally,
it's out of place. Yeah. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction. We learn in a bright that Rav Shimon Elazar, behemosh nismazmez moicha trefa. Rav Shimon Elazar says that if an animal's brain was nismazmez, then it's trefa. So how are Bei Rav saying over here that it's kosher? Okay. So Tosfos actually points that out as far as the next piece that the Gemara is going to say. Tosfos asks, how are you proving from one to the other?
Right.
So there's a couple of answers, one of them being, the Torah Chaim says, look, the whole problem we're saying, again, we're establishing over here, the whole problem why when there's any problem with the gray matter, why the animal would be trafe, we're saying it's not the gray matter itself so much that matters, it's the meninx, it's the membrane around it. Well, the reason why we're saying that, the reason why we're saying, therefore, that, for example, the gray matter is getting liquefied is because eventually it's going to puncture the membrane. Well, by the same logic, if we're going to say that nismazmez moicha, it would be trafe not so much because of the brain itself, but rather because of the membrane. So the same thing would be with the
spinal cord.
As it moves around, yeah, it's going to rub against it, yeah. So therefore, so yes, so the Gemara can be bringing a proof from one to the other because with both of them it's the same consideration, that eventually the membrane is going to get punctured. Okay, so the answer is hahi nismazmez moicha. Okay, that braisa is quoted a little bit wrongly. It's not supposed to say nismazmez, which, as we just said, meaning that either some of it is missing spontaneously, or that's moving around. And the proper wording in the Braith says, or Shimon Elazar says, if it's nismazmez, if it's getting softened, which we just said, softened makes it trafe.
Why do we know that it's not the...
Because we know, because otherwise it would contradict what Bei Rav is saying. So we changed the wording of the Braith to fit what Bei Rav is saying. Right. Okay. So the question is, Amy, is that so? Well, Levi have a Yosef Beimasusa. We have a case where Levi was sitting in the bathhouse. Chazilahu gavred tauyelereshe. He saw a person who banged his head. So Rashi translates it by a French word that means to bang, mincier, like the English word mince. It means that he banged his head really hard. On the side of it here, it brings from the article a little bit different. It's similar that he fell in the bathhouse and banged his head against the wall or on the brain, or on the floor. And Omar and Levi said, poor guy, nismazmez moicha d'dein. This person's brain is nismazmez. Now, my lab, Dolechaya, on the face of it, when Levi is saying that, what does he mean? The pastor, he means poor guy. He's not going to live very much longer. So we see that nismazmez is enough to make him chase. It's enough to kill a person, and the pastor is the same with an animal. The answer is loy. The answer is omer abaya, loy. Not necessarily. Maybe Levi means just loy mashain and molid. Maybe Levi is saying, poor guy, he's never going to be able to have children after that. Because we know in Chassidus, a ben nimshach mimoyach ahav, that the power to have children ultimately comes from the brain. So if some of it is missing or dislocated, concussed,
the
whatever,
the
that
comes from the brain from the father.
What?
I mean the chokhmah.
Yeah, well, ultimately the nerves that control the relevant parts of the body all come from the brain. So in that sense, if the brain is affected, so yeah. But it's not necessarily, are we saying that nismazmez would actually kill the person or the animal? By the way, with all that said, you have in Shulchan Aruch, you have a discussion between the Shach and the Tzvur Shur. I mentioned briefly, by the way, the Tzvur Shur the other day. I just mentioned he's one of the early Achronim. I should have mentioned, actually, he's actually a very important early Achron as far as Dinim of Tresis. He wrote a sefer, the Tzvur Shur is called. His name is Alexander Sender Shur. He lived in the 16 early 1700s. But he wrote a sefer. He wrote a sefer called Simla Chadasha, which is a very important manual on Hilchos Shchita and Hilchos Tzreifas. It's Yiru Dada Yemazeh. And he wrote a commentary on it called Tzvur Shur. So many times in these dinim, all the Achronim after him quote him regularly because he's on the level of the Shach and the Taz and the other Moshe Kalim of Shulchan Aruch, and he often argues with them on details of halacha.
Mm-hmm.
So he and the Shach, among others, discuss between each other the idea of here. Okay, so we're saying if it's nismaznez, and according to Rashi's definition, that means that some of the actual gray matter is missing. and that's true both of the spinal cord and of the brain, we're saying the animal would still be kosher. However, the Shach points out in particular, if too much of it is missing, then no, because we just said that the definition is you have to be able to hold the spinal cord and it would stand straight up. If you have too much of the gray matter inside missing, it's not going to stand up either because you're only going to have the membrane. It's going to bend over. So then it would be trace. So in other words, what we have is when it's infested, then even a small, when it's softened or whatever, even a small amount is enough to make it trace because it won't stand. So in other words, so it's one or the other. If it's infested in even a small area, or if a large amount of it is missing, either one would be it.
You need a small amount of liquefaction
to make it trace, right?
You
would need a larger amount of actual tissue to be missing.
Loss.
Right, in order for right. Exactly. Okay. Next, we have to ask, Ad heichan chut hashed? Up to what point in the animal is considered to be the chut hashedra? Now, the chut hashedra, the spinal cord, goes from the brain all the way back to the tail. But there comes a certain point in the animal's body where you don't really need it so much because you have a point where it's not necessary. You have a point beyond which it's not necessary for life, really. Like the animal can still hold itself up with its legs or whatever, even if the nerves are not functioning. You have a point where it ends, but that's just the tail. But in other words, for example, obviously an animal doesn't need to have a functioning tail in order to live. And similar, the tail of an animal. Knew exactly what it sounds like. The tail of an animal is also controlled.
The tail of the spinal cord has to be intact.
That's the point. In other words, the Gemara is going to talk about it. But here is there. You have, as you go down the spinal cord, you have nerves branch off it to the various organs of the body. But there comes a point beyond which you don't need it so much. If the cord is cut beyond a certain point, then it's not gonna kill the animal because the functions that it takes care of, the functions that it controls, are not essential to the animal's life. So what is that point? Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Ad Bein HaParshes, until the point between the branchings. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains, based on the next piece of Gemara that we're going to have over here. So you have like this. You go down the spinal cord. There comes a point where you start having branches off it. Now, of course, you're going to ask, you have branches throughout it, but we'll get to that point in a second. But you have a point near the back of the animal where you have, by the thighs of the animal, basically, where you have one branching, a little further a second branching, then further a third branching. Until that area, and the Gemara is going to define it a little more precisely now in this discussion, up until that point, the spinal cord is essential to life. Beyond that, not so much. So we have to figure out where in that area is the exact cutoff point, but it's in that general area.
Yeah, but what if called this degenerated disc?
Degenerated discs are something else. Those are the discs.
Nothing to do with the...
Nothing to do. No, here we're talking strictly about the spinal cord itself that carries the nerves. The discs themselves, if a person or an animal has a compressed disc or whatever, they'll have back pain, but it won't kill them. All right. So anyways, this is one explanation. Parshas Rashi later on brings an explanation from one of the Gaonim that the parshas over here actually means the sacrum. You have a bone near the back of the animal. It's actually a couple of bones, a couple of vertebrae that are attached together, that are fused together.
The sacrum,
yeah. And so Rashi gives another explanation that maybe the parshas we're talking about over here.
A human being has it also, right?
Yeah.
Now, so the real question is, what do you mean that there are only three branchings? You have branches of nerves come off throughout the spinal cord. That's how the spinal cord functions. Yeah. The answer is, and he explains over here in Sifas Kolin, what it is like this. Up until the point where we start talking about, you have the spinal cord of a certain width. You have nerve come off here, a nerve come off here, but the spinal cord still stays the same width. Until we get to these parshas that we're talking about over here, near the back of the animal, then each time there's a branching off, the spinal cord itself actually gets narrower.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right. So that's what we're talking about over here.
So we're talking about the end of the...
So near the end of the spinal cord. Right. So let's talk about that more in detail. Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak Kavaka Boy Lameza
Lebeichai. Well,
we have to know, because again, if the spinal cord, not the cord itself, but we said the membrane of it, the meninx of it, if it's cut around the majority of its circumference, above that point, then the animal is going to be traced, we said. But if it's cut around most of its circumference, below that point, further back towards the tail, then the animal is not traced. So we need to know where's the dividing line. So Reb Dimi Bar Yitzchak Kavaka Boy Lemezel LeBeichozoi. Reb Dimi Bar Yitzchak one time was going to be traveling to Beichozoi. It's nowadays it's in Iran. It's an area by the Persian Gulf. Whatever. Anyway, also the Kamei de Reb Yehuda. So before he goes to Reb Yehuda. Omale, and he asks him, Lech v'limar bein ha-parshat hecha. Rebbe, please show me what is this bein ha-parshas? What is this area where you have the dividing line between where the health of the spinal cord is essential to the life of the animal versus where it's not?
So it should be kosher or not.
Right. Parshas, he needed to know, because in Bechazoi, first of all, he's going to be the local right. Rob over there. As long as he's there, he needs to be able to pass it on health concerns. Okay. Omale. So Rabbi Yehuda tells him, okay, Zil Icy League D, go bring me a goat, Ba'achlilach, and I'll show you on the goat. You have, by the way, different explanations among the Mephoshim. Is he talking about that he was going to shecht it and then show him before he starts cutting it up that you could already see these parashas, you could already see these branchings of nerves? Or does he mean maybe, I think Rabbi Hanano learns, that it means this is something which conceivably he could show him even while the animal is alive. He might be able to show him, you can see the nerves branching off.
No,
they're not that cutting it open. In other words, he'd be able to have it feel, on the outside of it. Okay. Well, I see like Dishmena. Okay, so Rabbi Dimi Bar Yitzchak brought him a fat goat. On the leg, Rabbi Yehuda says that won't work. B'liat fei, with this kind of thing, the nerves are too the nerves that we're talking about over here are too embedded in the fat. V'lo yadia, so we can't tell exactly where they are. Or according to the explanation that Rashi brings later from the Goin, which by the way he doesn't even like that explanation. He prefers the first explanation that the parashas means the actual branchings themselves of the nerves that we're talking about. Anyway, according to that second explanation, the point is again with the animal being so fat. The bone, the sacrum that we're talking about over here, is too embedded in the fat, and we can't easily tell. I feel like kafosh. Okay, so Dimi Bar Yitzchak brought him a skinny animal. Omale, and Rabbi Yehuda says, that doesn't work either. Blitzen tfei, v'lo yadia. Now it sticks out too much, so it's hard to tell. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says that what happens is, now you have the hip bones are pressing against the flesh over there, so therefore, like you it makes it hard to be able to pick out the nerves. They're too compressed. They're too compressed over there. So, okay, forget about it. We're not going to keep on trying to find animals. Okay, Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda tells him, Ta Agmarach Gemara. Fine, since I can't show you in actual real life, I'll explain to you what I learned from my Rebbeim on this. Hafi Amar Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said. Ad Achas Chepa. If the cut happens anywhere up until the first branching, then the animal is Chepa. Again, remember, we have three branchings over there that we're dealing with. So if the cut happens anywhere up to the first branching, then the animal is chafe. The first branching, meaning the one closest to the head.
And what is it?
So here's another view of it. So here's the first branching, for example. So if you have anywhere above that first place, if it's cut around most of the circumference, then the animal is chafe.
Hold on a second.
Shlishis ksheira. On the other hand, if it happens by the third branching, then it's kosher, because at that point, third branching is definitely not necessary for the life of the animal anymore.
It's all the way down or what?
So here, you know what? Here's another view of it. Here's another view of it to show you. So you have here's these branchings that we're talking about over here. So if the cut happens, so now you have the animal hanging head down. If this spinal cord is cut anywhere up to here, then for sure it's chafe.
Right.
If it's cut anywhere near the third one, then it's kosher. Shnia and Yedea, and Shmuel says, as far as the second one, I don't know. I don't know what the halakha is.
First
branching, second branching,
where
third
is Shnia from which
one? Shnia is from here.
Up on top.
Yeah.
Closer to the head.
The first one, the further, then you have the second one, then you have
what side down?
What?
The branching of
nerves. I just explained. That's up until the point we were talking about, when the nerve branch off the spinal cord stays the same thickness, these branchings that we're talking about, the spinal cord itself starts narrowing. So the first of those branchings, where the spinal cord starts narrowing, if the cut is anywhere above that, the animal is chafe. If the cut is by the third one of those branchings, it's kosher. And the second one, he's saying, I don't know.
Some of the other bench is bigger.
Starts narrowing.
That's where we start counting. The third one would be kosher. The first one would be
straight. Upper than that is straight.
No, not upper than that. The second one we're saying we're not sure. We're not sure.
Yeah,
the first one is
and the first one would be straight.
I mean, if the bench is above, it's wider than the one above, right?
What?
The bench is up. They go wider than the branches, they come slender, right?
The branches branch off from the spinal.
Are they bigger? Yeah. Are they one size?
Okay, so here, yeah, well, I don't know whether the actual nerves themselves are the same size, not necessarily.
No.
But whatever, the point is, here you have the first branching, the second branching, the third.
That's the beginning of the...
Shmuel is telling us that if the cut is here, for example,
above,
then above the first one, then it would be straight.
Yeah.
If it's by the third one, the animal is kosher. The second one, he's saying, we're not sure.
One second.
Boy, Rav Huna, Brei, Rav Yeshua.
It does get thinner as it goes through.
It does get thinner.
Yeah, it gets thinner.
That's why. Because if the top one is heavier, it's keeping everything up. But that's why. If it's down, it doesn't have no stress.
The boy of Huna Bred Rav Yeshua. When we say until the first one, what do we mean? Ad b'chlal, the famous question that we always have in the Gemara, do we mean until and including the first one? In other words, the whole parsha b'shoina, the whole first branch itself, it would also be treif. Ojoma ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Or maybe not. Maybe it means up until the first branching and not including the first branching. In other words, when he says the first branching, it would be treif. When he says ad achas treifa, does he mean until the beginning of the first one or does he mean until the end of the first one? You have a difference. And boyer papa and a papa asks within that im tim saloima ad v'loy ad b'chlal. If you're going to argue that it means ad v'loy ad b'chlal, that you're not counting the branching itself. Pi parsha mahu. Then the question would be, what about the pi parsha? What about the beginning of the branchings themselves? In other words, do we say where it actually starts branching? Do we consider that to be part of the branching or not? If we were to say that the branching itself, the first branch, is already not for sure today. It's only Shmuel is not sure, and if we had another Amoda who told us for sure, then the question would be: Do we mean that if it's cut right at the point where it starts branching off, it would also be treif, or maybe not? That part where it starts branching off is called pi parsha. And then boy Rav Yumi, and Rav Yumi has a further question: Imtim Saloma ad v'ad b'chlal. If you're going to say the other way around, that ad means v'ad b'chlal, that includes the whole first branching. The question would be parsha atma mahu. The question would be, what about the branching itself? Would that be included?
Which one?
The branching itself. So you have a couple of different ways. You have a couple of different ways of explaining what exactly the questions are in the Gemara over here. One idea is you have Rashi versus Tosfos among others. You have the question, for example, here. One way of looking at it is that P parsha means again the cut is right over here where the first one starts branching off. And then on the other hand, we would say that what was the expression over here? Parsha asma mahu would mean what about the area between that and the end of that particular branching? You have also different understandings. So Rashi talks about that also. Rashi and Tosfos talk about that. There's other possibilities. Maybe we can be talking about the space between one branching and the next. Maybe that would be considered parasha asma, or maybe that would be considered, or maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it would. Is that considered dana parasha, or is that considered the parasha itself? Yet another explanation is that the last question of Yumi's question is, what if one of those side pieces themselves, one of those side nerves themselves, were cut off? What would be the din? So you have a variety of different ways.
He's always asking these questions. But I can't answer. It's always a taker by him, right?
Well, toshma. So now, okay, come, let's try to bring a proof. We learn in a braisa have parsha tidon kibosar. The parsha, the branching off tidon kibosar, has to be treated like the flesh. The pashtus meaning, in other words, that even if it was cut off, it would be kosher, just like regular flesh of the animal. If it was cut, doesn't make it true. My love parsha rishona or shnia l'chora. That means the first and second parshias. That those are already considered like bosser. And that would mean, in other words, that only up to the beginning of the first parasha would it be a problem. But once you reach the first parasha, then we're saying if the cut was anywhere below that or in the branches themselves, then it would be kosher. And so, well, shlishis, not necessarily, because maybe the braisa means only when it comes to the third one. are we saying that's already considered like a flush? Maybe the first and second ones already are, and maybe even the space between them are considered still like the actual spinal cord.
And therefore it be
so therefore it would be treif up until that point. So that's the established halacha, is that basically up until the beginning of the third branching, if there's any cuts over there, then it has the din of the spinal cord, and if cut around most of the majority, then it's safe. Beyond
right.
that, once you have the third branching, anything below that, then it's kosher. And
how many branches are there?
There are many branches, but here we're only dealing with feet.
Here we're only dealing with the
circumference.
So 1, 2, and 3, after 3 is straight.
After 3 is kosher. And 3 itself, I think we also say it. No, actually we don't. We say ad b'chlal. No, it means in other words, we say up until the end of the third one, up until the end of the third one is straight. Beyond that, past the third one is kosher. Right. Next.
That's holding up the man.
Yes. Next. But oifa. So this is all talking about an animal. And by the way, here's where Rashi also brings that maybe the parashas we're talking about over here, about the sacrum, this bone that's fused together from three vertebrae. And it's not a big difference because you have holes in there for the nerves to come out, but whatever. And then Rashi brings over there that maybe the parasha itself means what it can still mean also the branch can still mean, among other things, parasha asthma, the question can be, what if that bone itself is broken?
What about it?
That's the question. One of the questions we had with Yumi asked, parasha asthma mahu, so if we say that vena parashas means the area of that bone, then the question would be, what if that bone itself breaks? But Rashi says he doesn't like that explanation, though he prefers the original explanation. That parashas over here means the branchings of the nerves. Next, but oifa, what would be the din when it comes to a bird? Where do we say with that the highest of the spinal cord goes until? Rabbi Yana Omer Lamasa Min HaAgapayim. So Rabbi Yana says until below the agapayim. Now agapayim means the wings. So wait, V'Rosh Lakish Omer Ad Bein Agapayim, up until between the wings. Meaning, in other words, according to Rabbi Yana, you're further down. But you have a machlokas rishonim. What do we mean over here? Do we mean until do we mean that Rabbi Yanai and Rish Lakish are saying until the beginning of the wing bone, until the beginning of where the wing attaches to the body versus the end? In that case, then according to either one of them, the trapezius and the spinal cord don't really extend that far. This whole area back here, it wouldn't be an issue. On the other hand, you have rishonim who understand that it means until where the wing rests against the body. Tosis discusses that over here, among others. That in that case, that would be somewhat more machmir than you'd have from here till here would be considered the spinal cord, and only this part over here would be ignored as far as strength is. The Shach also mentions another possibility that maybe the agapayim over here means not the wings, but rather a bone called the scapula, and then we call it in English the shoulder blade. By a bird, that bone literally is like a blade. It's shaped, the shaft says it's shaped like a knife. So you have two of them, one on each side of the body. The end of them forms part of the shoulder socket of the bird. So we have three ways of understanding what ad bein agapayim means. Does it mean until the lower end of the wing bone where it attaches to the body? Does it mean the lower end of where the wing bone rests against the body when the bird has its wings down? Or does it mean until the end of the scapula, which comes out to around the same place as the second one,
Where's the scapula on this picture?
The scapula in this picture, I don't think you really see clearly, but here's a picture that illustrates it. Here's the picture of it. So there's the wings and there's the scapula in there. That's according to Hagoyis Ashevi, which is Hagoyis on the Rosh. And then the Shach explains clarifies which bones he means. He means these long knife shaped ones. Here you can see it also in this picture over here. So again, so you'd have one explanation is that Rish Lakish would mean the trephis go till here.
Where? Show me.
Till here. Till where the wing separates from the body. The other one would be until where the wing rests on the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one would be till the end of the scapula.
Mm-hmm.
So in any case, those are the three. Those are the three. The halacha is like Rish Lakish as opposed to Rabbi Yannai, but as far as the definition of which one of those, so it's one of those things, because the Machlokas Rishonim, we try to be Machmir, like the first opinion, but in case of Hefsim Merubah, you can be Makel, like we try to be Machmir, like the second or third opinion, but we need to be Hefsim Merubah yet. So to finish up, Amar Ola, have a Ka'im Nechameh de Ben Pazi, I was standing in front of Ben Pazi as a Talmud, but I saw a Kameh Ofer, they brought a bird in front of him, where it had trouble with the spinal cord, or Bodak Ben Agapayim, he checked until Ben Agapayim, as Rish Lakish said, the Sholach Leid Ben Nesia, the Kam V'Ozol. Then, so this is Rav Yannai, this is Ben Pazi was checking it, but then he got a message from the family of the Nasi that they needed him, and he got up and went. So Ula says, I don't know. Did he not check any further? Is it because he held that you don't have to check any further than that? Because the halacha is like Rish Lakish rather than Rabbanai. Or did he just go because of the covet of the Nasi, but maybe if he had time he would have checked further? We can't be sure what Ben Pazi would have done, but the halacha is like Rish Lakish that it's only ad bein agapayim. But then you have that machlokes, because you're showing him what bein agapayim means. Does it mean the end of the wing, or does it mean the end of the wing socket, or does it mean the end of the wing bone, or does it mean the end of the scapula?
Yeah.
I mean, when they shecht, they look at it right away.
The wing.
Usually, they don't look at these things because unless there's reason to suspect that there was a problem, you don't have to check for them. But if you know that the animal had trouble with its spinal cord, for example, then yeah, you have to check.
The wing bone.
Not that I know of, but they don't need to.
The scapula
runs along the side.
What does it do? It's just a knife.
It's like a knife-shaped bone. It's the equivalent of a person's or an animal's shoulder blade, basically.
But it has no function in fight, does it?
I have no idea whether it does or not. But I mean, the end of it over here forms part of a socket into which the wing goes into. The wing fits on the bird into a socket made up of a couple of bones, and one of the scapula is one of the ends of those bones.
So the question is whether it's
so the question is again, is it that it goes from here, from the pulling over there, until here,
from where?
From here, from the back of the brain, as we said, until here,
right?
Or is it until where the wing rests against the body, which would be like here,
mm-hmm.
or is it until the end of the scapula, which is also around there?
Mm-hmm. And we don't know, so
we don't. Therefore, so in general, we try to be machmir until the end of the wing,
from the neck
until the end of the wing. That in any area over there, you could have trachis of the spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
If you, in a case of Hefsim Merubah, then you can be makel and say if there's a problem over here, then it doesn't make the bird trace.